Good morning. So, just to start off, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Trevor Ehrenholz. I want to get this out of the way first off. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. So, just lower your expectations. Okay, so what do I do for a living? I am a detailer. I work at Browns Chrysler here in town. And I want to thank you all for trading off your dirty minivans, and we'll sell you nice clean ones. Very much appreciated. My other job, if you will, although not paid for it, but probably everybody knows me more for, is I'm a volunteer firefighter here in town. So, that being said, now you know who you're listening to. So this morning, I'm going to say something. I'm going to feel really old saying it. Has anybody here ever watched a Gaither video? Okay. I was part of Generation X, and we listened to rock and roll and Petra and Whiteheart and all those kind of things. Gaithers were kind of like old people music. But if you watch a Gaither video, lots of times they have this room, and it's all set up, and they're all seated nicely, kind of in a semicircle. They sing like angels, but it has this really nice feel. It has this feel of extended family, and it's just like they just all sat down, and this just magically happened. This just, you know, all this beautiful music just happened. They're all friends. So that's what I want this room to feel like this morning. That's my goal. Being as I'm not a pastor, you guys are all going to be involved in what's happening this morning. So don't be surprised if this microphone gets put in your face at some point this morning. So be ready. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to think back. For some of us, it's longer than for others. But I want you to think back to a Christmas that you will never forget. A Christmas that was really, really special. I am blessed beyond measure. I came from a really good family. For me to pick out a Christmas is almost impossible because they were all amazing. My family got along really well. We had a good time. We were so good when I invited my friend over for my birthday party one year. He came and he stayed with us and he went home. He came back to school the next day, and he said, I have never been with a family like that before. He said, sitting with you guys and having supper was amazing. He had never experienced sitting around a supper table and talking back and forth and laughing about our day and stuff like that. He says, in my family, we didn't sit together. We got our food out of the kitchen, and everybody went to their own rooms, and that's how they did supper. That wasn't the case in my family. We sat around and enjoyed everything. So, back to Christmas. Think of that Christmas. And I want you to think of why you remember, why it sticks out in your memory. What part of it sticks out in your memory? Why was it so memorable for you? So I'm going to take you back in my history a long time to when I was a teenager. So no gray hair. Probably a few zits, but I was much younger. I was probably, I'm guessing, but I'm thinking I was about going grade 9, grade 10, going into high school. And I asked for this gift from my mom and dad, and I pointed it out to them. We lived in Barrhead, so we were shopping in Barrhead. I pointed out this gift, and I said, that's what I want. So, I actually still have that very gift. You have to remember, this is the 80s. I asked for a leather jacket, and I still have it, and it kind of still fits. So, my mom and dad went out, and they got it for me. And who of the mothers here or fathers here just hates it when your kids can guess their Christmas presents? My wife, we can't do that at our house, like it's forbidden. Anybody else here like that? Or you, yes, Patrick? Anybody else? Or do you let your kids guess? Is that okay? Okay, you guys are good. My mother couldn't stand it. She was like my wife. So we weren't allowed to guess. It just annoyed her. But my mom caught me because I was sniffing my presents. I knew I was getting a leather jacket, right? What better way to figure out if you're getting a leather jacket by the smell? So I sniffed my presents, and I got my leather jacket. I wore that jacket all through high school. My casual grad pictures are in that jacket. That was me. That was my second skin. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Yes, Luke chapter 1. So, as I said, you guys are going to be involved. So the first thing is we have some kids in the audience. I want the kids to think of the best Christmas present they've ever gotten so far. And I'm going to ask for 3 volunteers to come up and tell me what that was. So, just a heads up. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. And I want to look at the part where Gabriel visits Mary. So Luke chapter 1, just bear with me. I've got 2 versions here, and the Message does not have verses in it. So starting in verse 26, in the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and you will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." I was telling Pastor Ken, and I think I've told Keith this last Sunday, everybody else in the Bible who an angel comes to visit, what does the angel usually have to tell them right off the bat? "Fear not, get up off the floor. It's okay." Well, this is Gabriel. This isn't just the run-of-the-mill angel. This is the angel. This is like a general in God's army. This guy is big. And yet it didn't really faze Mary. I find that interesting. She didn't end up on the floor. She would talk to him, and I can imagine Gabriel is very big, extremely intimidating. It's just amazing. So now I want you to flip over, and where are we going to start? I'm sorry, I should have brought a different Bible because I'm really having trouble going back and forth. So we're going to start at verse 5. In the time King Herod of Judah, there was a priest from Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of, I'll let you say that name, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations, blameless. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Okay, and now we're going to skip down all the way. Chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, a census that should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while another name I can't pronounce was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register, and Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the birth of the baby Jesus. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has spoken to us about." All right. So this morning I want to talk about the gifts of Christmas. And by no means are we going to talk about all the gifts of Christmas, because you would be here till sometime tomorrow morning. So we're only going to talk about three, and we're going to talk about them in the backwards order. We're going to talk about the greatest one last, and the other two first. So, but first of all, out of all the kids sitting here, do I have three volunteers? Any volunteers? I have one. Come on up here. What's your name?
Carter.
Okay. What was your favorite Christmas? What was the present?
Last year, my mom and dad got me a Mokenjo car.
Nice. Thank you, Carter. You may go back to your seat. Name?
My name is William.
Okay. What was your favorite Christmas and your present?
It wasn't really a present. It was actually seeing my auntie and my uncle who live in Vancouver.
Nice. Awesome. Do I have one more? You? Well, then come on up here.
My name's Thomas.
Nice.
I got Pokemon cards this year.
All right. Thank you. All right, so the very first gift I want to talk about, and we just experienced a little bit of it, is joy. Joy is associated with Christmas. You probably have an ornament hanging on your tree that says joy. You probably have decorations in your house somewhere that say joy. I find, maybe I'm wrong, but I find we live in a joy-challenged world. We live in a world that the people out there really have very little joy, and they go to find joy in places where they only find temporary joy. They find joy in parties, in drugs, in alcohol. They find joy sometimes in behaving very badly. Different things. But we live in a world that's very joy challenged. And the other thing is we as a people, for whatever reason, don't actually crave good news. We crave bad news. It's like we feed ourselves the opposite of joy sometimes. And the reason I'm saying that is because who here sits down and watches the evening news or the morning news? So if you watch that, and I have it on good authority that they've done studies of North Americans and stuff, and whenever they run a good news story on the news broadcast, that is your cue to go to the washroom. That is your cue to disregard the television and look at something else. So the reason being that they feed these stories of doom and gloom is because that's what the people actually want. That's what actually drives up their ratings, is the fact that we actually crave that. But we also crave joy. And when Jesus came to this world, he came to bring us joy. What did the angel told the shepherds, right? I bring you great joy, right? In the birth that he's coming. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 to 3. So this is the reason why Christ said he came to the world. So Isaiah chapter 61, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. If you read the Message translation, it talks about Jesus was sent to bring us messages of joy. We should be known as a people of joy. So when you're out and about and talking to your friends and stuff like that, you should be known as a person of joy. You should have a joy that they don't understand. And it should be something that people should be drawn to by us. And sometimes I look at myself and I go, I struggle with that. But that's what God wants us to be, is a people who have a joy that the world doesn't understand. Why do we have that joy? Because we know who Jesus is. We serve a God who, despite what they tell us on the news at 6 o'clock, we know how this world is going to end. We know what's going to happen, right? We know the end of the story. All right. The next one is I want two adult testimonies. So I asked for a portable mic, so I'm portable, so I'll come to you. Any volunteers? Their favorite Christmas story, but you have to keep it 2 to 3 sentences. We have one over here.
I'm Patrick Montpetit, and my favorite Christmas has been the past 2 years, because basically both my grandmas have been coming out for Christmas, and this year as well, my grandma's going to be coming up for Christmas, and my favorite gift was one of my blue diamond fry pans I got for cooking.
Nice. I need one more volunteer. Or two. Oh, there we go.
I think my favorite Christmas was when Judy came back from Greenville College, and I had a chance to take her out to the spinning wheel and there give her a single pearl. No, that was before we ever started dating, and so it was kind of a pre-engagement time. And so I think of that. It was in 1964, Christmas of 64, when she came back from Greenville College. And yeah, and the spinning wheel was a very special spot.
Nice. I love how God is putting this morning together, because if you notice, lots of the gifts that are being talked about are not necessarily material. And I know we live in a world that has gone very materialistic on Christmas, and in the world's view, in order to do Christmas, you got to give this bigger gift. You got to give this fancier gift, this more expensive gift. And lots of people have went totally the other way. They've gotten tired of trying to outgive each other, and they've stopped giving gifts, stopped giving so many gifts and that type of stuff. But I believe God still wants us to give gifts. I believe God still wants us to give gifts, because he gave us a gift, and Jesus came and brought us many gifts. We're only talking about a couple this morning, but he came and brought us many gifts. He still wants us to give gifts. So it's neat how the gifts that we're given sometimes, that we're talking about here this morning, are the gifts of somebody coming home for Christmas. That aunt, that uncle, that grandma, somebody being there for Christmas. That was the greatest gift. That's so cool. So when you go out this year and maybe you're like me and you have to do some Christmas Eve shopping, you don't necessarily have to, it doesn't always necessarily have to be that material gift. It can be something else. And the other thing that I felt led to share about that was, God says, if you don't want to give that material gift, you can give a gift of something else. Sponsor a child in a third world country for a year, and do that as a gift. Different things. Give the gift of yourself. Volunteer here at the chapel for an extra season this year as a gift back to your church family. Different things that we can do as gifts, but not necessarily gold and diamonds and all those fancy things, right? So the second gift that Christmas brings to us that I'm going to talk about is peace. And if you turn to John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, verse 26. I'm going to start at verse 25. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and he will come, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my words, but they belong to the Father who has sent me. All this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus came to give us peace. And that's a peace that only Jesus can give. The world doesn't have that peace. And the neat thing is now that we have the Holy Spirit here living amongst us, we can ask for that peace anytime. So when you're going through life and you're troubled, you can ask Jesus for that peace. And he does give it. He does give it. The trick, sometimes he's waiting for us to ask for that peace. And I have experienced that firsthand. The other thing, and we've already talked about, to live in peace is to live in peace knowing that we already know who created the world and who holds the world in his hand, who controls this world. It's such a gift of peace. I don't think there's another religion in the world that can say that, that can offer you that kind of peace. Peace is also found in his presence, in the Lord's presence. I can remember growing up and being in church services and experiencing God's presence. And one of the attracting things about God's presence is the peace that you find in his presence. I enjoy that so much. Christmas time is a time of peace. So, I need a couple of volunteers because we're going to unwrap the last gift that I have for you this morning. So, can I get a couple of older boys? Because they're going to have to be able to lift a little bit. Anybody more volunteered? I have Patrick. Anybody else want to help him? Come on. Come on up. Slide it back. Can you take the box and just set it down there over in the corner? Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you. So the last gift we have is the birth of Jesus. And I think that is the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. We had a baby born in a manger. We had a baby born of a virgin. A baby who is eternal. Sometimes it's hard to think about Jesus as somebody who existed before his birth on earth. I don't know why. In my head, sometimes I lose that. But Jesus existed all the time. He's eternal. He existed before he came to earth, and he'll exist long after this earth is gone. A baby who, despite his very, very humble beginnings to this world, his entrance into this world, is the king. A gift from God to us. This is the only reason that we are still here is because of this gift, because of the birth of Jesus. This is the reason for the season. This is the reason for Christmas. This is why we celebrate. So my question today for each and every one of us is what have we done with the last gift? Because every time you see a nativity scene, I want it to be a question for you. Did I accept this gift? Did I accept Jesus? Do I acknowledge Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Have I asked him into my life? Or is this just another scene in during Christmas and we just walk by? But that's what the baby Jesus is asking us, is are you going to accept me? Are you going to come into relationship with me? And will you accept me? So that's what I asked this morning. I know we have visitors here this morning, and I say welcome to you. But that's the reason why we come here to celebrate. That's the reason why I get up in the morning, is because I serve a king who came to earth as a baby. And he came as a baby, he died for me, and he rose again, and he gave his life just for me. And the neat thing is Jesus came and died for all of us, but the really cool thing is if there would have been only one of us, just me or just you, Jesus still would have done the same thing. He would have came and he would have died just for you, because he loves you that much. And he wants to know you that much. That's just awesome to think about. So I'll ask the music team to come up. And I will say this. If you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus and you would like to, I'm going to wait around. If you want to talk, I'm here. If you're not comfortable talking to a guy in a gold shirt, that's fine. There are other people here. You can talk to them. Talk to somebody in the chapel that you know, and find out how to become a follower of Jesus. And you might say, well, why is that so important that I do that today? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us can say that we're going to be here undoubtedly tomorrow. Something can happen. Beyond that, you're not even guaranteed to make it out of the building. You're not guaranteed your next breath. So that decision is so, so very important. And if you can make it today, that would be so awesome.
Thank you, Trevor. Would you stand, please? We have a Savior.
Sing for the light. Well, may each and every one of you have a wonderful Christmas with lots of family around you. Do you get to open your gifts up right when you get home? Yeah? All right. So may God be with you this season, today, and around the table, and, well, always. Go in peace. Thank you.
Come, thou long expected.